I mean, we can kind of cold open it a little bit, but...
Yeah, I can't think of anything, like, smooth and smart to say.
No, I had a bunch of shit written down that was like, your sinners rejoice, that kind of shit. We've been listening to the Helluva Boss soundtrack a lot, and that House of Asmodeus.
Ah, yes.
Which is a great track where he's like, ooh, my Dark Lord. And I'm like, ooh, my Dark Lords and ladies. But you got to throw like non-binary people in there somehow because you don't want to be a dickhead.
No, yeah. You got to cover everybody. And then like it's far too long.
Right, exactly. It's not snappy. So we'll figure it out eventually. Because this is going to be a thing. We've decided to make it a thing.
Because we decided 3 hours was just not enough to really nail out all of our crazy.
I think we both had, this is a welcome to, what are we fucking calling this shit? You're watching it wrong.
Are we? We went with that. Okay.
Absolutely. I had Bob get the website is ours, sass.
The amount of titles we were like throwing out there, but we kept coming back to this one.
It's too good. It's too good because it's kind of the whole thesis of why we're doing this, right?
Yes.
So welcome to You're Watching It Wrong, a Has-Been Hotel podcast. Maybe someday we'll get cute music. I was like, ooh, what about intro? We don't care. We're raw dogging it. We're just going.
This is a very, but we're punk as a podcast. We're a punk podcast.
Oh, yes. The embodiment of punk over
sure.
here.
Sure.
But yeah, so we did a recording a few weeks ago, right? Like a month ago?
A few weeks ago, month, something like that. Time doesn't have any meaning.
On the Ultra Running podcast.
The place everybody looks for Has-Been Hotel content.
I still love, because apparently people listened. People listened
God
through.
Bless every single one of them.
God bless them. For three, like legitimately 3 hours. We talked about Has-Been Hotel for 3 hours on a running podcast. And I think the next day at work, or whatever, I was sitting there and I was like, I could have gone for longer.
Much longer.
I have more to say.
I kept thinking about things that I'd missed. I was like, oh, we could have brought that up. Mm-hmm. We could have brought that up.
Yeah, same. So then your friend had a Olympics opening ceremony party.
Yes.
Which just a couple of us there. Another one of your nerd friends was also there. And we started kind of joking about it. Well, I think you thought I was joking.
I did think you were joking. I was like, oh, and we should probably introduce ourselves. I'm Sass.
I'm Erica.
And this is our Has-Been Hotel podcast that I did not actually think was going to happen.
But I was like, no, I think we need to do it. We need to be the cranky old fandom aunties and just be like, no, this is how you watch a show.
Because I'm about, like, what, 375 next week, which makes you what?
In crone years?
Yeah, in crone years.
Or hag years.
Oh, you know, whatever you want to go with.
right around the same. I think you might have like a month or two on me, but we old.
Okay, so we're both millennials.
Yes. We are elder millennials.
Elder millennials.
To borrow a phrase from a comedian whose name I can't remember.
Liza Slushy.
There it is. Elder statesman of the millennial variety.
Yes.
We've been around the block. We watch entirely too much television.
Far too much.
We have consumed a lot of media. And just with this particular show in general, it seems like there's just a lot of vitriol, a lot of like...
A lot of negativity. Yeah.
And, like, we're not here to be like, you have to like everything. You have to do this.
But dare you critique things?
There's just some shit that's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Are you watching the show? I don't think you're watching the show.
And I feel like the both of us, we're such animation fans across the board. And it's one of the reasons we love the show so much. That
Absolutely.
We were kind of like, you know what? I think we could have an interesting podcast talking about the show, talking about animation, and kind of digging into why we love this ridiculous show.
Here's the thing. Now I get to talk about Lucifer for, like, several hours.
You do. You do.
Though probably not in this first one, because he's not really in it. But I'm going to find a way to make it all about my faves, people.
Because we're going to try to do a podcast, an episode.
Yes.
And this is for the pilot.
We are going to be talking about the pilot today, which I had... Now, had you been on board since the pilot came out a million years ago?
God, no. I had found Hell of a Boss. Okay, maybe you don't know who this was, but there was a YouTuber who has since fallen from grace named James Summiter,
oh,
I think was his name.
Oh, no, Summerland or
Summerland,
something like that. Fucker who was like stealing queer theory and shit, yeah?
Yes, and so he actually introduced me to it.
Really?
Yeah, he had some mention of it in one of his YouTubes that I used to watch, and I went, oh, I like animation and this looks filthy, let's do it. And so I watched Hell of a Boss, and found out, like, oh, there's another show. And I couldn't, the show hadn't come out yet, mm-hmm. but you can find the pilot on YouTube still. I don't know that the pilot's on Amazon where you can watch the actual
show. It's not. I think you can only catch it on YouTube, is my understanding. Because we both purchased the Blu-rays of the show. the brain rot, like... I season two hit, and it was that, like, it grabbed me by the brainstem and was just like, no, this is your personality now. I'm sorry.
See, like, and I watched the pilot on YouTube and went, that's really cute. That's interesting. I will watch this show when it comes out because I'm really liking Hell of a Boss. And then the show first season dropped, and I was like, well, this is my new favorite thing.
I remember
thing.
You being very about it, and I had seen GIFs. I remember seeing GIFs of, like, Loser Baby and being like, oh, okay, that looks like something I would probably enjoy. I remember seeing GIFs of Helluva Boss, specifically that Stolas song they do. Fuck. Is it Just Look My Way?
Yes.
That music video. I remember seeing shit from that and being like, oh, that's gorgeously animated. Mm-hmm. File it away. Okay, maybe I need to check this out. And then you started talking about Has Been, and I was like, oh, I love animation. Let me check this out. Watched the first season. I enjoyed it. I don't think it quite, like, grabbed me as mm-hmm. much. And then season two comes out, it was like October of 2025, right?
And it's so weird because I forgot the season really? Two. You told me. And I was like, oh my wild. God, it's out.
Because I was like, no, this is like your jam. I'm going to watch this so we can talk about it. And I think I got like four episodes in and I was like, why am I not vibing? Let me go back and rewatch season one. Did that, came back, rewatched those first four episodes, and then I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Here we are. All right. I'm in.
See, and I had rewatched season one so many times at that point that I was like, oh, I'm ready to go. I got my hat on. I got my gas tank filled. We got, you know, some illegal hooch in the trunk, and we're about to, race the cops.
Oh,
let's go.
Speaking of hooch, so we are drinking Spite Sazerac this evening. Get a little tinky tink there. Yes, there we go. Lovely. I was reading a fic where someone said it was a liquor. They're like, oh, we're going to go grab a bottle of Sazerac. Which said there is a rye Sazerac, but that is not the impression I got. It was like this person thinking, oh, no, that's a liquor. And I'm like, no, it's not. No, it's not. Young person writing this fic who doesn't drink.
Bless you.
As a seasoned enjoyer of bourbon and rye and whiskey, that is a cocktail. So once we decided we were going to do this, I was like, we're having Spite Sazerac.
We're not in smoking jackets yet, but next episode we will be.
It's going to happen. I'm going to be in a robe. It's going to be great. We're going to take pictures. You're going to love it. I got to get the little ducky embroidered on the headband because then I can wear that as well.
Yes, because you're going to cosplay as Lucifer.
I am from season two.
It's going to be fun.
It was just like, this just has to happen. It's going to be amazing. This is where we're at now, unfortunately. So welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome. Hopefully you enjoy this very stupid ride with us, but we're going to try and have... In addition to the two foxes screaming into each other's mouths, and she shared that gif with me, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what this.
That's just what I kept picturing is just two foxes screaming into each other's mouths. That's what we are right now.
That's what that 3-hour episode was. My husband was on it with us because he also enjoys the show. Buckethead Bob of 10 Junk Miles fame, because mm-hmm. we're getting the ultra runners and the has-been fans.
Who are definitely listening to this.
Oh, absolutely. This is a thing we're doing. And he enjoys the show as well. So I was like, we're going to make this your problem on your podcast. And we kept trying to bring him into the conversation.
Sure, you were trying.
But I feel like every time we did, we'd be like, okay, he doesn't want to, he's not like.
You're not digging. Dig!
You're not
digging.
So we were
dig
like, okay, fuck it. Now we're going to talk about nonsense. Which, fine. Not everybody, you don't have to watch the show the same way. You don't have to enjoy the show the same way. What I do need you to be doing is actually watching the show.
We've talked about this a lot, and we've noticed this with other shows. What we kind of think happens is that people get very into the show, and then it used to be where you had like a summer. You would watch a show through
those halcyon days.
What a day.
And I know animation takes a long time. Like,
true.
Absolutely.
But like you would have the summer for
your Buffy's.
Oh, X-Files. A Buffy's. Yeah. Right. And Buffy actually coined a term because like people would theorize during the summer and we'd call it getting Jossed because Joss Whedon was the showrunner. What a shame about that guy. Anyway.
Time makes fools of us all. Time makes fools of us all.
But as people would watch the show, your theory would just get like trampled into
decimated,
the ground.
Right.
And you'd go, oh, I've been jossed. But you only had like 3 months to kind of really like it. And the thing is that you cannot love your own theory too much because the creators aren't making your thing.
Right.
What's beautiful about fandom is that you can take your thing, go off, run, make fanfic, you know,
we're
make
playing
fan
with
art,
dolls over here, baby.
Build your sandcastle, baby, and nobody can tell you not to. But the creator is not paying attention to your sandcastle. They're building their own.
It's the getting mad about it, I think, that's a little troubling to me. It's that, it's the... And, obviously, there's time between seasons. You like, I do the same thing. How many times have I watched like certain scenes of The Witcher, like ad nauseum, so I have them fucking memorized? And it's just kind of, though, that's a little different because it's based on books. That's a different kind of rage you get from the fandom because they're, like, they're not doing the books properly. And it's like, well, it's an adaptation. I think the biggest thing is if you don't like what they're doing, you don't have to watch it.
There are times where I'm like, guys, I don't need you to just go touch grass. I need you to go take a long forest bath.
Yeah.
And just walk around for a little bit. Like, it should be something you enjoy. You should not be distressed by the thing
that
you love.
You shouldn't be getting mad about it. Exactly. And if it's become something that it... Do what we all should have done after season 6 of Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Just walk away.
God, looking back on it, I was like, when people were like, if you had a time machine, what would you do? And I'd be like, I'd go back and tell myself, girl, you gotta stop.
Swat that remote right out of the hand.
No!
No!
It's not worth it!
It's not worth it. Stop it.
Give me that.
But I think part of it, too, one, I think people, and I'm guilty of this, too, we're watching TV with our phones in front of our faces.
Yeah.
So we're missing kind of massively, vitally important pieces of information. And then being like, well, why didn't they explain this? And it's like, but they did. You're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I know no one has any kind of an attention span anymore. And that's just a problem that we all have. I mean, I sit there. I do the same thing. I'm scrolling through like fucking Blue Sky looking at cute fan art. And I'm not paying attention to what I'm watching.
But like, while we're doing this, I've been actively trying to not be on my phone. Same. If I'm liking the show. So like when I watched the pilot to prepare for this, I took notes. I didn't do anything else. And I would pause it when I was taking notes. And I will say, I feel one of the things I do really love about this show is that I really feel like it rewards your attention.
100%.
Jokes in the background, stuff written on mugs, little things that I've noticed. And it's kind of nice for my brain.
Absolutely.
To just stare at it and watch it and be like, I'm not going to look at my phone, the thing that makes me depressed.
I'm going to tell you right now. They're leaving money on the table by not allowing me to buy an official pair of mugs that say duck season and fucking deer season.
It's hurting me.
Like,
why?
I want to give you money, spindle horse. Like, I want to give you money for... I don't want to go find a cheap one on Etsy. I want the official one.
Because I truly thought, like, oh, no. They do merch. They've got to have those
How
mugs.
Could you not?
And they didn't have them. There was one mug, but it wasn't either of those.
It's just fuck Alistair, and it's great.
Okay, that's...
It's a Vox
mug. That was pretty funny.
And I was like, I want solid. That too, but I have a solid. 6-year-old. I can't have that in my house. But no, they're going to release them when Radio Apple becomes canon in season 3.
Oh, no. This is the other thing, okay? God bless all of you. But man, I get worried because I'm like, this is such a fun pairing for you in a fandom sense.
Mm-hmm.
But fandom loves two characters who argue with each other. They love a Daffy Duck Bugs Bunny couple. Do you think there's Daffy Duck Bugs Bunny fig? There has to be.
Yes.
There has to be.
There's no way. There's not.
But
I have a cocktail in my hand and a mic in the other, or I would be looking it up. There's no way there is not, like... Think of them raw dogging each other. Like, and that's the second time we've said raw dog on this podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. I don't know. This is just great. We're just letting you know immediately what this is going
to
be like.
This is what this is. We're going to be dropping the hard C. We're going to be swearing. If we mean like, you know, death, murder.
We'll just say death and murder.
We're going to talk because we're adults.
And also, guys, you're watching the show set in hell, and you've come to the podcast to talk about the show set in hell.
Right.
So here we are.
We're adults, and we're going to be talking about it. Again, there will be screaming into mouths, but we are going to try and have a sophisticated discussion about it.
Sophisticated. I do feel bad, though, because I'm somebody who really, in a fandom sense, loves a rare pairing. We were kind of talking about this. And it used to be in the past, what was really fun is that people would write, like, little manifestos about, like, this is why you should ship my rare pairing. And they would make fan art, and they would make fanfic, and it was so much fun. But you kind of knew, you knew, like, this will never happen.
I was going to say, this
show
is not a rare pair.
This is not.
This is like, people are going to be a little hot if this doesn't happen. Some people.
Oh,
I should say some people. I think a few folks I follow who do art for it are like, no, I'm playing with my dolls. I know what I'm about. I know what I'm doing. If this doesn't happen in the show, I'm not going to be mad about it. Like, we will always have what we were doing on Blue Sky. It's great.
We will never tell you to not ship something. We will never, ever tell you that, baby. As we keep saying, build the most intricate sandcastle. Go pick up shells and put them on the side like it's got little turrets.
Let those two characters fuck each other nasty.
Do it. But I will be real shocked if anything happens.
I could see some sort of, and we're already getting into, like, we haven't even touched on the pilot. We're not going to get too nuts.
We promise.
But I couldn't not bring it up because I knew it would make you laugh. But there will be some sort of, like, grudging camaraderie, I think, at some point.
Probably, yes.
Because you do need a reason for Alistair to still stay at the hotel. And I think at the end of season two, they made it pretty explicit. It's because of Lucifer at this point.
Probably.
But
yeah.
He wants that sweet-ass angel blood.
Hey, I want him to have, like, a Hannibal moment where Lucifer just turns to him and goes, did you just smell me?
Yep, I'm nodding vigorously.
A real thing that happened in the Hannibal show.
Yep, because that show was outstanding.
Amazing.
I want him with just, like one of those, like, swirly straws, just, like, chasing him around, just, like, trying to, like, stick it in his neck. Like, give me the Looney Tunes version of
it. We're just going to see him, like, reading cookbooks through the entirety of the show, and we'll be like, uh-oh.
How to cook four angels.
Wait, there's some space dust on here.
It's hell dust.
There's some hell dust on here.
Okay. So, like we said, we're going to start with the pilot.
Yes.
Obviously, we probably are going to try not to get too ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there will be spoilers for the entirety of the show. We'll just warn for that right away.
This is definitely going to be something where, like, we're really going to analyze the, oh God, you're just going to have to bear with me being real pretentious. We're going to analyze the actual text of the show.
Yep.
Which is going to be the whole show, which is going to be animation, writing, character design. We've decided to, like, if we see something that we know is being referenced in animation, we're going to talk a little bit about that.
I got a whole paragraph on Lottie Reiniger, baby.
Ooh.
We're going to have a little conversation about her.
So let's kick this off.
Absolutely. So the pilot was released apparently on Viv's birthday. I'm just going to call her Viv.
Call her Viv like we know her.
Like we know her.
Buds.
Right. We don't want to be perceived.
Please, God.
Don't perceive. But
Viv,
I'm just
if you ever
say
listen
Viv
to this, don't tell us.
Don't. I don't want to hear about it. But if you want to send us some merch, we would love the shit out of that.
We can be bought.
Absolutely. Without question. We were talking about that over dinner. I have no shame. So Spindlehorse currently is based in Burbank. They have a sister studio called Spindle Roo, based in Australia, which is fun. It was founded in 2018 by Vivian Medrano, who is the creator of the show. I think she does most of the writing. I think there is a writing team.
There is a writing room, yeah.
Yes. So the pilot, like I said, was released on October 28th in 2019 on YouTube. It's called Bass Entertainment, directed by Viv, written by her. We're going to butcher some names here. Also written by Dave Capdeville, perhaps? Daniel McDonald and Raymond Hernandez. Okay, that wasn't too bad. Songs were written by Perry Grip. Score was by Evan Aldierte. Gooseworks, who I believe is the creator of the Amazing Digital Circus.
Yeah.
Which we also kind of talked about. Be nice to the... Here's the thing.
Please be nice.
Here's the thing. If somebody creates something that you enjoy on the internet, especially now, there are things to get mad about, people.
Oh, yeah.
There is so much to be angry, like, furious about. Direct your ire in the correct way. Not at, I don't like that the creator of the show said these are the two main characters.
Breathe. If you get real angry, I want you to take that. I want you to either go do something positive with it, or I want you to direct that anger at people who deserve it.
In the correct place.
Yeah.
Let's not... Just stop watching the show if it makes you mad. If it makes you mad. Let's not send death threats and be dickheads online.
Don't do that.
Just don't be a dickhead online. Direct your ire to the people who deserve it.
Politicians,
exactly. And Thomas Ryan also worked on the score. It was funded mainly through Patreon.
Yeah.
That's my understanding.
I didn't know that. That's wild.
It is wild.
That is amazing.
It's bonkers. And animated mostly by freelancers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because that was kind of before, I think, that they really were able to... I would imagine, and this is just me speculating, that once the pilot got picked up, they got that A24... Amazon money, that's when it was like, okay, now we can actually round out our studio.
Yeah. This is amazing because I know that there's another indie animation project called Lackadaisy, which is...
I have been meaning to check that out. That's one of the cats,
delightful.
Right?
Cats yeah. in the 20s. But like that also got funded by Patreon. So I don't know if... I think it did anyway because I think I gave money to that.
That's wild.
But yeah, I wonder how many indie projects have been taken off that way lately with animation.
Well, because I think you look at like just the state of studio animation and just what like a lot of these... Do you want to work for Disney?
Dana Terrace will tell you not to.
Right.
Creator of the Owl House and Knights of Guinevere.
When I watched that pilot for Knights of Guinevere, I was like, oh, she hates them, hates them.
I cannot wait. Oh. It's been greenlit for a season.
Very pumped. Yes,
girl, bring same. Me. See?
Yes.
Take all that anger towards the mouse and make the most awesome animated
absolutely,
show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you just see a fair amount of that sort of indie stuff happening, and that's where you're going to get the good shit. So it's like, when you do see ire directed towards those people, it's like, no, but they're doing like the entertaining good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody's a shithead, like, but these people aren't shitheads, they're just made a creative decision you didn't enjoy.
I need them to do like an actual thing that doesn't and I've heard like the problem is that there's rumors, and then you go, well, okay, I need some evidence for this rumor. If you're telling me that this is a toxic place to work, I need something.
Should we get into the VisiPop controversies?
Let's not go too far into it because we're actually getting into
the flying quotation marks.
You can't see the quotes. But like, you know, I really need it to be.
You did a bit of a. You did a bit of a deep dive.
Oh God, I read articles. I watched like a bunch of different YouTube videos, and I was really waiting on it. I'm like, what is it gonna be?
What's the thing?
What's the thing? And we're in the wake of like several of my favorite creatives turning out to be like monstrous, mm-hmm. you know, sexual assaulting, you know, assholes.
Uh huh.
And so I'm waiting for something like that.
Oh, absolutely.
And instead I'm getting like, maybe drew some fan art when they were younger that was questionable. Okay, fine.
Which is like, oh
okay.
Is that a problem?
Okay, yeah. Okay. And then apologized for it. And I'm like, okay, fair enough.
Oh, she shouldn't have apologized.
There were a couple of things where I was like, I see where you would want to apologize for that
okay,
one.
Okay.
But sometimes yes and sometimes, but for the most part I was like, this is like a lot of nothing burger stuff.
Yeah.
There's nothing here.
It's ridiculous. It's just stupid. Just direct your ire in the proper place, dummies. We love you. Thank you for listening. One cool thing that I do enjoy about Viv is, and this was in Helluva Boss, which we will also be referencing. I would be shocked if we don't do like an episode or two on it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's also a delight and a half.
Love it.
There was a animator, Dark Crowl, I believe I'm saying that correctly, animated a dance between Stolas and Blitz, where Blitz was like dancing on like tables and stuff.
Oh,
so he could
yeah,
be like
yeah,
tall
yeah.
enough. They hired them. So that scene at the very end of Sinsmas,
yes.
where they're on the balcony and they're dancing,
yes,
they animated that.
Oh.
So that's cool to see, like, you know, she sees something like, oh, that's a rad animation.
Mm-hmm.
I would like that. Let's hire that person and have them do it on the show.
Very cool.
That's very cool to me.
That
very
is very
rad.
Cool.
Let's see what else I have here. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. So many of the characters, which I also found interesting, and I love this, existed in some form in her webcomic series, Zoophobia.
I have heard of it. I have not watched or read it.
Yeah, I didn't do like a lot of deep digging into that. And that started publishing online in 2012. So
wow.
I just love that she has these characters that she's like just had in the back of her head for over, you know, a decade at this point, that finally get to like have life breathed into them,
mm-hmm.
and you get to like tell their stories. That's very neat to me.
Well, I know she's had Alistair since she was, I think she said high school, like very young.
That's wild.
And I feel like you can kind of see, we already brought up Hannibal, but I feel like as people who are fans of Hannibal, we also can kind of see like, okay, there's some echoes here. And I
the charming diabolical bastard who's
yes.
also a cannibal.
Exactly. Well, then there's the character Angel Dust, I guess. I watched like a 2-hour interview just with her, and she's talked about how that character in her head has helped her get out of certain toxic relationships. And I was like,
amazing.
It is fascinating to me, like the relationship you have with your own original characters, as well as characters who who aren't yours. Like, I was never a huge Star Trek fan, but I really love the documentary Trekkies, because there was a woman who would talk about how she felt very connected to the character Data. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she would just kind of stand on the balcony and think about the character and think about what she should do with her life. And I was like, it's so very fascinating and powerful what, like, a fictional character
Absolutely.
Can do in your life.
Exactly.
Because humans love stories. They get us through everything.
Exactly. Especially these dark, dark times that we are living through. Especially if you're a millennial. What's that Geralt quote? I've been through like three end of times and like...
What apocalypse is this? I'm losing count.
Exactly, exactly.
What is the plural of apocalypse? Is it apocalypses or apocalypse?
I like apocalypses.
I like apocalypse.
Ooh, okay.
We'll have our own. Ooh.
So yeah, I never checked into Zoophobia, but I don't know if it's still out there.
We'd have to check. I wonder if it's still on her channel.
I know. I don't know if she's taken down her Tumblr and all of the art that's there, but I know there is a, what is it called on Tumblr? Your blog? It's a blog on Tumblr,
I think,
right?
It's a blog, yeah.
I have been on Blue Sky so much more because that's where, like, the art is that I want.
The
and
art
not
moved that away.
The dumb, like, discourse that I don't want to hear.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, okay, no, I'm in my character tag, and I don't want to hear how you don't like this person. Go away. Get out of here. Why are you here?
And there's so much beautiful Hazbin Hotel fan art.
It's
amazing.
Bonkers. Again, I am an enormous fan of The Witcher show on Netflix, but that fandom is not active, very, very dead, and there's little pockets, right? But for the most part, you really don't see a lot of fan art for it anymore. There's still fic, but not like the volume that you need to get the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still there. It will always have my heart. Still thinking about a Witcher tattoo. But I've kind
Ooh.
Of... You know the title card for episode 5, The Joy of Cooking, where they have like the garlic and a bunch of like the herbs and
yes.
shit? It's because it's like twofold. It's like I've been wanting a garlic tattoo Aww, for a very yeah. long time, but then it's like, ooh, it's the thing I enjoy as well. I've gotten wildly off track. What were we talking? Oh, the Tumblr blog. There's one it's the VisiPop archive, and they post like a lot of her old stuff.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So it's interesting to like have that pop up and be like, oh, neat. It's something from when, because Tumblr's been around for like fucking, what, 14 years at this point too, which is wild.
Tumblr to me is always like a ghost ship. I'm like, yeah, I'm still here and I'm not leaving, but
right,
like.
Right. What are you still doing
What are here? You still doing here?
There's other places we could be.
Mm-hmm.
So that posts some of her old stuff. But I'd be interested in like looking into Zoophobia and just being like, yeah, I want to see like the earliest versions of these characters.
I would love that. Is there an art book for Hazbin? Have we looked?
I feel like if there was, one of us would have it.
One of us would have it, yeah.
There
oh, I'd love an art book.
I feel like, because they're doing like a cocktail and like bar snack book.
All right.
I'm buying the shit out of that.
I can't wait till you buy that.
We're going to do
it.
An episode, and we're going to make some drinks, and it has like Adam's ribs in there.
Oh yes, yeah. Thank you.
We're gonna make the snacks, and we're gonna drink some drinks, and we're gonna podcast about it, and it's gonna be fucking great,
amazing.
I feel like there were murmurings of how do you not have an art book?
How isn't it an art book yet? There's an art book for Knights of Guinevere. There's a pilot episode.
Oh, I was looking at that and I'm like, do I need that art book?
I already bought it.
Did you?
I bought it. I got the hardcover, man.
Hell yeah,
I was like, this
baby.
Shit's gonna last forever.
Amazing. I'm like, I need an art book for episode 5 of season 2. Like,
yes.
I just want, tell me, I want in exhausting detail how you made did the animation for this episode.
Please.
I want to hear how you wrote the songs. I want to talk to, what's his name? Christian Boyle, however the fuck you say his name, about how he sang fucking Fox's shit in that episode. Because it's all great. It's great, sass. But hopefully soon. Though, I wonder if sometimes that's the kind of thing where they wait more towards the end of something.
They might, yeah. They might be, because there might be more characters coming that would be in the book. So that's
the one thing, I was watching an interview with her, and I don't know if this is in my little notebook or if it's in here.
Mm-hmm.
We will get to the episode eventually,
we
folks.
Promise.
We're going to be wordy bitches, though. Where she talked about, and it was recent, it was in like the last like 3 months that she did this interview, where she was like, she likes to introduce characters early on, not just in the season where they're going to do the thing they're there for.
Yes.
And she was very clearly talking about Stranger Things.
Yeah, very this, clearly like, talking about Stranger
yeah,
Things.
Where it's like, okay, this new little kid is here. I wonder, do you think he's going to be significant to the plot?
I think he's going to die. Do you think he'll die?
He's probably going to die.
No.
He doesn't. He's like, no, just taking up precious like screen time and real estate. It doesn't matter.
Do we introduce a new character that people fall in love with only to kill them in the last...
Whatever could you be talking about?
What show was that?
But I was like, no, you know what? I appreciate that. Like, no, we're going to introduce... Like, I know some people are like, what the fuck is Loot, like, doing? Loot's just kind of here. Mm-hmm. What's the point of Loot? That's the slow burn of it all. You don't want her to, like, just randomly appear and be like, in season four, like, well, I was Adam's lieutenant, and it really hurt me that you... It'd be like, well, where the fuck have you been? Why haven't you been around?
Here's my backstory.
Right, but having her from, like, jump, it's like, oh, okay. Like, you get to, like, build up with the character. So I thought that was interesting. It doesn't always work, necessarily, but... I like that sort of ethos.
Agreed.
What else do we have here? So yeah, the show was picked up for a full series by A24. I have a link to the list of voice actors, but
you can
look that up yourself. It has, as of my writing this, over 121 million views on YouTube.
Damn.
And is just over 31 minutes long.
Okay. I am fascinated that the I didn't pay attention to this, apparently, the first time I listened to it. Voice actors, not the same. Almost all of them are different.
It's like a lot of... I think all of them are different, aren't they?
Is Charlie the same?
Charlie's different.
Charlie is different. Damn. No, because I know Vaggie's different. Mm-hmm. Alistair's different. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we got any Lucifer or Vox or...
Very sad.
We see Rosie, your fave.
But, I love Rosie. I liked her. She's like scratching out Franklin's name.
Oh my God, I was fat. I did not notice that. So what? Again, rewatching it now that I've seen the show, I was like, am I getting like little hints of what's to come? I was like, mm-hmm. Who is Franklin?
I've got a couple little notes here of just like you see Carmilla Carmine's daughters and they look like they're pulling like angelic steel out of a body. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, well, that's going to be important later. Just a lot of like little shit, right? We see the V's, we don't actually like, they don't talk at all, but it's established that they exist in the world. Same with Carmilla, same with Zestiel. You see pictures of Lilith, we'll get to that fucking phone call, and Lucifer, and so there, it's a lot of good sort of like in the background world building.
It's a lot of show don't tell. Like if you were on your phone for this, you would have missed like half of it.
You're missing the shit out of so much stuff.
Because there's no dialogue when these people are presented.
No.
It's just kind of a montage of different, like the aftermath of the first not the first purge, but like the first angelic.
What did they call it? They call it the cleanse in the pilot, which I really liked.
Oh yeah, that's terrifying.
Rather
yeah.
than like, because I think that's called exterminations in the show.
Yes.
Cleanse just like...
Ugh.
And that has that like holy sort of...
Yeah.
Well, we're just cleansing things.
Just cleansing. It's fine. Just
making it all
nice.
Don't worry about it.
But it's very much the aftermath of that. And you're seeing all these different characters and like how they've maybe spent the night.
Yes.
And what's really interesting is that Charlie, when we first see her, sends fireworks into the sky.
To kind of alert everybody, right? That's how I kind of took
that's
it.
How I read it too. And I'm like, so in the pilot, it kind of makes it seem like Charlie has a little bit of to me, this has always been like just a very violent, very hectic, very terrifying moment in hell.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, I was like, oh, is this something Charlie has done after every single one? She like releases fireworks to be like, okay, it's over now.
Right.
Can they kill her? In this kind of, can the angels kill Charlie Morningstar in this kind of purge?
See, this is one of the things that you see a lot theorized that like, because okay, let's get, I was going to save like unhinged theories to like the end, but we're still figuring out
how we're going
to do this. We know what we're about. One thing I've seen bandied about is that whatever, like, so you have these cleanses, these exterminations, whatever, right? Whatever that agreement was, it's to kill sinners, not necessarily hellborn.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie's a completely, like, if you fucking touch Charlie,
mm-hmm.
We're gonna come and fucking kill your asses. Because we don't know, we're told, I want to say, in the first episode that it's Lucifer who makes the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I buy that.
I think that's a very interesting thing to re-examine as we go further into
Absolutely.
The show.
We'll have a lot to say about that in that first episode, because they talk about it when Charlie goes and meets up with Adam. I believe it's mentioned. but we don't know the exact agreement. But we also don't see in the very final episode of season one, Lou doesn't jump in until Charlie is explicitly threatened and like hurt. That's when he's like, oh, well, you've touched my like kid. And that was like,
that was it.
That was a deal breaker. Agreement's off. Now I'm going to waste your ass.
I will say the
saying that I fucked both of your wives.
Oh, got to throw that in there.
Absolutely. Oh, I got theories about that too, Sass. We're not going to talk about that till later, though.
Oh, we got the theories we have. Our own theories, of course. We're just like, don't be too in love with them. It's fine. But I got to tell you, if we're right on anything, there'll be no talking to us.
Oh, there'll
weeks.
Be parades through the streets. it's we're gonna do a thing about it.
We'll make
it.
What Vox did look like child's play.
I can't wait to talk about that.
Oh,
it's going to be a while. I can't wait. I won. I can't wait to talk about
the
it.
The milkshake for
don't
one.
Get me started on the 50s milkshake date with the look on his face. I love, like, oh my God, just perfection. Amazing. But anyway.
I will say something I was really excited was still in the pilot, and they do this in the first episode as well. It's like kind of the shadow puppets that explain
what
what's
a beautiful
going
segue,
down.
Seth. Thank you. Thank you. I did enjoy the shit out of that, too. One thing that I love that they do in the pilot that they didn't do in the first episode was it starts with a song.
Yep.
And I did a little looking into. So this song is called I'm Always Chasing Rainbows. It's actually a vaudeville song originally from the Broadway show Oh Look from the early 1900s.
I did not know that.
I didn't either. But then I was like doing a little research because that's what we do on this show. And yeah, found that, which was actually quite rad. So I liked that as an opening because it's this very melancholic song, and it kind of gives you Charlie right there for you, which I really enjoyed. It kind of set her up really well and sets up the Broadway inspirations right from jump.
Because we've talked a lot about how this is, you know, the show is Disney that can say fuck,
yes.
Which is why you kind of get a lot of, which is where a lot of the songs maybe, you know, maybe perhaps you thought, that song kind of reminds me of Friend Like Me from Aladdin. That song sort of reminds me of Scar's song from The Lion King. But there's also so much like Broadway going on.
Oh my, yes. My, yes, indeed. Well, and just in the casting proper. It's
oh,
all,
God.
Most of it is Broadway people.
We're so excited to actually listen to people who can sing songs.
It's great.
Oh my God. The never-ending musicals where we have actors who can sing like fine, belting out, trying to belt out Broadway. It's
like, oh, the
sad.
Rock! He can sing! Kind of.
Why did we do this to ourselves? we didn't have to do this to ourselves!
We didn't have to do this to ourselves. But, so no, we get these beautiful Lottie Reiniger-esque cutouts. Where is my all about? Let's talk Lottie. That's the name of the section.
Because I don't know anything about this, so go forward.
So I have a few links here that I'm going to post underneath the podcast when we post it. So the opening of the pilot and the first episode of the series are inspired by the works of Lottie Reiniger, a German filmmaker from the early 1900s. Very elaborately detailed cutout drawings and inspired by her own animations in that same style. Though Disney holds the patent for this, Reiniger was one of the first to kind of mess around with the multiplane camera method.
Oh.
To give that depth to her animations. She has what is considered the oldest surviving animated film, The Adventures of Prince Ahmed, from 1926.
Can you watch this?
It's on YouTube.
Shut up.
It's one of the links. I'll send it
oh,
to you.
Oh, yes.
It was created with a crew of just 5 people, shot over 5 years in a friend's garage.
Oh, we love that.
There's also a quote from her that closes out the episode. It is, animation is basically not so much a technical implement as the expression of the spirit behind it. To see that the spirit goes into your shooting must be your overriding ambition.
That's going to make me cry.
I know, right? And I take that to mean, like, just let, you know, let your imagination go. Just let yourself kind of be shown through in what you're doing. You're using the medium to express your truest self. And I think Viv does a really good job of that because this is a very unique show.
I would say like the visual language that the characters have to like express different emotions, they're very over the top, yes, and cartoony. But
we're
then,
using the medium.
Yes, exactly. We're using it well. And then that way, I feel like it helps a lot to see how cartoony those characters can get, because that means when they yank it back and pull it in, suddenly you're paying way more attention.
Absolutely.
And I feel like they use that quite a lot through the show.
So Lottie's one of those kind of animation figures that I hadn't heard about until I studied animation briefly. Is about 10, 15 years ago now, and she's brought up a fair amount because it's the cutout puppets kind of in like a stop motion sort of style.
Okay.
You watched Steven Universe.
Yes, I did.
Do you remember the episode where it's Ruby and Sapphire and it's how they kind of like first met?
Yes, I do.
That's also has that sort of, it's very inspired by Lottie's works.
So that's fascinating because that's inspired by Revolutionary Girl Utena, which also uses the shadow puppets.
That episode also has when they're singing, what is it, something entirely new, that the Sleeping Beauty.
Yes, the colors, the pink, blue, pink.
So it's cool to see these female animators now being able to be like, you know, because that's a field that's so like, if you only go with the Disney of it all, you hear about, was it the six or seven, whatever, the old men who like worked at the studio and like, oh, we're the ones who did it all. And it's like, yeah, but ink and paint was like mostly chicks. And
there's a,
go
there's
fuck
a,
yourself. There's so much more than just the Disney of it all.
I'm going to tell you this right now, and this is true for all art. Okay. I'm assuming it's also true for all science, but go with me on art here. If anybody tries to tell you insert group has never made art, that's not true.
Oh, that's bullshit.
It's bullshit. If people try to be like, women never made art. I think
you're thinking about the exact dunderhead that I'm thinking of, who can go get fucked.
I mean, there's a book called The History of Art Without Men, and it is just about female artists, sculptors, that kind of thing. And perhaps you need to dig a little harder on this, because like, they won't tell you about it.
No, they won't. And so much, if you're a younger listener, you do need to go out, and I hate to say do your own research, but you do need to go out and try and explore more, because school is such cliff notes.
It's cliff notes, unfortunately. They're doing what they can.
Exactly. And until it's like, and a lot of what they teach you is just kind of like not correct.
Sometimes as you get deeper into it, you'll realize like, oh, there's a lot of context here.
Yes, we were missing a lot of the context.
And I will say it's rewarding. I know we make it sound like homework, but it will enrich your life. It makes the world so much bigger.
Well, this is the thing. If you're into animation, you owe it to yourself to look into it beyond the Disney of it all. Just even look into like Don Bluth. Sure,
oh,
he started
Don
at
Bluth.
Disney, but then he broke off and he did his own thing. Like, you have to. It's worth it.
It's worth it. And like we said, we're gonna try to like throw old, not just, God help me, not just indie animation in, but like animation that is maybe older that we loved.
Absolutely.
We're really gonna try to like, you know, throw some stuff down here that like, we're gonna tell you where to find it. We're gonna try to talk a little bit about it.
We'll hit you with some deep cuts. We'll hit you with some stuff that like, there's references that like, we were talking about this, I think, when we did the 3-hour episode. It's watching Steven Universe and the Utena of it all.
Oh,
let's
Utena
point out all of the Dragon Ball Z references that are here. The Disney references that you can find.
The amount of times Sailor Moon has shown up in anime, the animation that I've watched lately. Mm-hmm. And I've been like, oh, another weird little girl got older, has a career in animation now and threw in her favorite thing.
And that's what I love. It's like, oh, you watch the same stuff that I grew up with. Mm-hmm. And now we get to point and be like, look at the thing.
Thing. We love Thing.
Happy. I love Thing. Thing makes me so happy. So definitely, like I said, I've got a like 17 minute video from the Met that kind of talks about her work. I've got a link to The Adventures of Prince Ahmed on YouTube, and then a couple other articles that just kind of just talk about her and who she was, and and dig into her more if you find it interesting, because her cutouts are stunningly beautiful, very intricate, and it is simple animation, because again, this is almost a decade before Sleeping Beauty.
Wow.
Not Sleeping Beauty. Fucking Snow White.
Oh, Snow White. Okay.
Sleeping
Snow
Beauty
White
is my favorite. So that's.
I do love Sleeping Beauty.
Oh my God, I love it so much. So good. I got very drunk one Christmas and was sitting there ranting about how furious Maleficent made me, because they really diminished the fairies' role in like raising her and like, how it was a beautiful act for them to be like, no, we're going to give up our powers, raise this child. It really doesn't mean anything to us, but comes to mean, like, they're the true protagonists of that movie.
That movie is so good upon rewatch as an adult.
I love that movie so much. Maleficent, great film.
Oh, Maleficent.
I got a sick-ass pin of her up there for Christmas this year.
So good.
It's awesome. I love her to pieces. She'd be very fun to cosplay. So yes, no, look into Lottie Reiniger, look in, and let that take you places. Like, if it says, I know sometimes on Wikipedia it'll be like, oh, so-and-so was inspired by their works. Click that link, baby. Go down that K-hole.
If you find a nonfiction book, I've got a book, it's called The History of Tattoos, and I think like the History of Tattoos on Eight Bodies or something like that.
Ooh.
And I read it. I loved it. I'm getting a copy of it because what I'm going to do is I'm going to flip into the back where all the references are.
Hell yeah.
I'm just going to read through the books in there.
Nice.
Because I love it. I love A History of Tattoos. So like when we say do your own research, honestly, it's going to feel daunting. It's not.
Well, and I'm not saying like just go and like type some nonsense. I'm going to tell you right now.
Ooh, fair listeners. Yeah. We should warn you.
Fair listeners. This is a very anti-AI podcast.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Whenever we are telling you to go look into something or do something, I need you to like go to the library, go talk to somebody. You just type it into Google and scroll down past all the AI nonsense at the top.
Start with Wiki.
Go to Wikipedia.
Wiki is good.
That's one of your last bastions on the internet for like decent information. Mm-hmm. Use that as your jumping off point. Don't use the wage theft machine, please. we get these really interesting cutouts of a lot of the residents of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see a silhouette of Lucifer. We
yes.
get to see Charlie. We get the exorcists. I don't know that we see Adam.
We don't. I didn't see him. We see like the angels with like kind of the exorcist. Helmets?
Mm-hmm.
Was that what they were?
I think that's what it
was. With like
is,
their kind of squiggly faces and horns we see. And can we say how interesting it is that angels have horns?
Intriguing.
How intriguing.
Intriguing.
But we don't see Adam at all.
No, we don't.
I feel like the next thing we see is that it's Charlie in the news studio. She's about to get
yes.
interviewed by Katie Killjoy. And I'm sorry, apologies to Katie Killjoy's voice actor, but it is just not
the same.
Same.
I thought the same thing. As soon as she opened her mouth, I'm like, you're doing a fine job, but you are not Brandon Rogers.
You're not Brandon Rogers.
And it's ruining it for me.
Because Brandon Rogers, I'm not homophobic, Tom. I just hate gay people. Like, I can't. That dude, his voice, the tone of his voice is so perfectly
disruptive.
He gets it.
It's just like, no, I understand what this character is, this side character, what this character is about. Pops Bob every time. It's hysterical.
I will say one of the things I thought was very funny in the background of the studio was that there is a smoking sign, but it's not like a no smoking sign. It's just the cigarette
Here's the thing.
A sign.
I'm going to tell you right now, nothing makes me happier than when characters get to smoke on the television.
Yes. And we don't even smoke.
Every now and then. No, smoking is terrible for you. However, it is cool as shit, okay?
Unfortunately, on TV, as Don Draper kind of proved time and time again, many things on TV can be made to look very cool.
Yes, exactly. And every now and again, I used to be a social smoker when I was in college.
Sure.
Every now and again, like when we went out a few weeks ago, I was like, all I want is to suck on a cigarette right now.
Oh, yeah.
I would do it, and I would be like, this is disgusting. Why are you doing this?
Oh, right. I hate this.
This is horrible. This is why you never started to do this regularly. But God damn it. Every now and again, you'll walk by somebody, and you'll get that tobacco smell, and it makes me very happy.
It's very nice.
Oh, what else do I have here? Before we got to Katie...
Oh, Serpentius and Cherry show up, right?
Which I was like, I didn't realize that they would be in the pilot.
I didn't remember that at all.
Yeah. Now, we should say, you had watched the pilot before. I think we mentioned this at the beginning.
Yes.
I had only just watched it in the last, like, month or so.
Oh, okay. You'd never seen it before.
No,
okay.
I hadn't. Because I was just like, I mean, I knew it kind of existed, and it was always one of those things that was like, oh, I'll get to it. But really, the brain rot has only set in since season two hit. So this is just where we're at now. And we're making it everybody else's problem. But I did like that we get a bunch of characters that we know now, having watched two seasons of the show.
Yes. And it's interesting to kind of see where they start. Like, Cherry isn't Australian yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, right. And Serpentius is kind of just Serpentius, but even his character design isn't quite, like, smoothed down.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
It's still, like, so... The animation is still so much fun, mm-hmm, at the same time, though.
Oh, yeah. It's delightful. So then we get, I have a very blatant note that Katie Killjoy is just not the same without Brandon's voice.
Mine says Katie Killjoy's voice isn't as fun as when it's not Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's when we get, there's that other, oh, do we get more, I have a couple other notes here before we get to the second song. The turf war thing I thought was interesting.
I didn't really pick this up in the show, but I like the idea that in the pilot, the day after the cleanse, you're suddenly having a lot of turf wars because a lot of people are dead.
Right. And they're just like, well, we need to, like, grab this territory. And it's like, okay. And they kind of maybe allude to it in that overlord meeting that they have in season one.
A little bit, yeah.
Which I'm also excited to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Again, we'll get there eventually. But that, I thought, was, like... a cool reason why, because why else would you be fighting each other?
Yeah, yeah. And I like the idea that, I've never really thought about it, but Pentius would be a terrible overlord.
Yes, he would.
He'd be the worst at it.
Absolutely terrible.
Like, Cherry'd be a pretty good overlord.
She'd be solid. I don't think that she would like to be, like, in charge of anything, though. She just kind of wants to be, like, getting scrapes and be, like, fucking shit up.
I think she just likes blowing stuff up.
Exactly.
Shit up.
Exactly.
Also, the egg boys, are like, down the line, are treated far more gently than they are in the pilot. Those egg boys are just getting scrambled left, right, and center. They're numbered.
Yes.
It's not great.
Except for Frank. Frank has a name.
Oh, Frank. It's Frank. We have names.
Oh, what else do I have here? We get the Angel Dust friendship with Angel is established. A little less sympathetic here than in the first episode of the show.
He's way more annoying.
Yes. But I kind of like that because, again, we're in hell. Everyone kind of sucks.
And he's annoying in a... number one, it cracked me up that I thought he was going to go get a soda for some reason, and instead he gets just a bag of angel dust. But I did think it was very funny that he's annoying, kind of like an 11-year-old boy would be annoying.
Yes.
He's just raising and closing the window in the limo,
mm-hmm,
and you can see Vaggy wanting to just, like, murder him again.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. What else do I have here? And we get that friendship established, which I was... liked that was there, because that comes a little bit later in the show, right?
Yeah.
I feel like Cherry doesn't show up for a couple episodes.
Agreed, yeah. Well, because it's funny, because they're kind of cutting back and forth between Angel Dust and Charlie being on the news, trying to get everybody to, like, come to this hotel, and
yes,
they're like, oh, we have Angel Dust. And may I just say, the names of Angel's porn films never don't crack me up.
What's the one stepbrother caught in a hula hoop? It pops me every time I see it. It's just insane.
Because the one that they show when she's like, oh, we have angel dust at the hotel. This one is called, well, okay.
And it's that kind of shit you're going to miss. Like, in animation especially, it's like they can get those stupid, like, visual jokes in there. And if you're not paying attention, you are going to miss them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's half of the joy of the medium.
I also love, as Charlie is on the news, like, right before it, she's talking to Vaggy, and Vaggy is just, like, such a supportive girlfriend. She's like, baby, I can mouth the words to you. It's going to be fine. And she's like, I got this.
Because she knows how it's going. She knows who she's with. She knows how it's going to go.
And, like, she's standing next to a cameraman who I think calls Charlie a dumb bitch, and she just, like, side punches him in the head.
Gotta be supportive. Gotta be supportive. It's rough out there. Because I think what they do a really good job of in the pilot is just establishing how, like, this dream of hers is just batshit insane.
And Charlie is so funny, because I keep thinking about how Charlie is the way Charlie is because she's Lucifer's daughter.
Yes.
And Lucifer was an angel,
mm-hmm,
and so cheerful and so full of creativity and spunk. And then, like, Charlie has a list. Her list says that we will have dolphin high fives and unicorn kisses. And up in heaven, they got, like, a unicorn polo stadium. And you kind of understand why Charlie is Charlie.
My God. Okay, we don't have to talk about it right now, but I need the flashback to when Lou was in heaven. I need that. I need to see it so that then when they show us the fall, it's even more painful.
Because our favorite theory is that he was, as Emily was created to replace Lucifer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got a whole thing, Sass, and we're going to talk about it when we get to the first episode and we do that whole Book of Hell sequence. I've got a lot to say.
Amazing.
But I do think in it's really in season two where they very much, and here definitely, they do a really good job of establishing who Charlie is here. And just
yes,
once we see a little bit of Daddy Dearest, it's like, oh, okay. This is why you are the way you are. Interesting.
Yes.
So then we get song two, which is Inside Every Demon is a Rainbow, which is a fun feature song for Charlie that really kind of expresses that sort of manic energy that she has.
Mm-hmm. I like that, like, kind of during that montage, you see a character who looks exactly like Steamboat Willie, which in he's black and white, and he's got, like, that Disney animation look to him.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, like, Steamboat Willie, one of the oldest clips from animation, I think Walt Disney's first animation of Mickey Mouse.
I think it's the first appearance of the mouse.
The mouse.
The mouse.
Who would soon come to eat us all. But, no, and it's just funny to kind of catch that. And also, if you're looking, you do see, it might just be another imp, but it looks so much like Blitz.
No, it's Blitz. It's very clearly Blitz. Luna's in there.
Yeah.
I was just like, ah, it was just kind of like pointing like, oh, look, it's the people that I know and enjoy. I mean, the song is like, the songs in the pilot are, they're good. I will call them
good.
But when you compare them to the show proper, I don't think there's really, they don't hold up.
Yeah.
The stuff in the show is so like, I don't know what's like, packed with, like, you know, the other side Sam Haft has, but everything's great. Like, all the songs are outstanding. It's all bangers. Very few skippable. We skip starts with Sorry, but, you know.
Well, yeah. Which is so sad, because it's, like, such a hinge.
It's the theory
of the whole show.
Exactly.
Is it starts with Sorry, and we're like, next.
Like, nah. Poison's next. Fuck this. So then I have the Lilith phone call.
Really fast, there's one final thing I want to say about the news. While Katie Killjoy and Tom are on air, there's like scrolling text at the bottom. I highly encourage you to pause and read some of it. Like, just one of the ones I caught, it literally just says, murder, sex, weather?
They do that in season two as well with the ticker. There's one where there's like, local drunk claims to have seen Lucifer Morningstar chasing ducks. Like, I'm like, stop it. You're killing me.
There's one where I think it's just some dude like confessing, like, I'm so sorry. This was just, I wasn't having a great week and I've made some mistakes in my life.
Amazing. It's amazing. But little shit like that. Pay the fuck attention to the show when you watch it. So yes, the Lilith phone call, which is interesting because I think in that same interview I mentioned earlier, Viv had said that they wanted to do these phone calls through season one as well.
Oh, okay.
They just didn't have the time for it.
It happens.
Which is the shitty thing about like the 8 episode, like 25 to 30 minute constraint is you don't get to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which I do, there's stuff way down the line that I want to talk about in regards to that, but it's I get it. You got to like make decisions about what's absolutely vital that we get in there. So I'm glad they were able to work them into season two, because I do think, especially in that season, very like important for the whole kind of Charlie mindset and arc that she's kind of on.
When they're playing like a long game with that, because, you know, Lilith doesn't show up until we're getting her in season three. But I feel like this has kind of been playing the long game where like we start questioning, like, who is this woman who isn't answering her daughter's panicked phone calls?
Uh-huh.
And, oh, please be a bad mom.
Shall we just establish that now? We want Lilith to be terrible.
Oh, we can't wait. Oh, please.
We celebrate women's wrongs on this podcast.
We celebrate a bad mom, a bad fictional mom.
And I want her,
podcast.
Yes, it needs to be a bad fictional mom. Let's make
the bad mom, like in real life, is
explicitly clear. No, it needs to be, yes, I need her to be terrible.
Oh, yes.
Not like, maybe not, but she needs to be bad. She can't come in and be just a bastion of goodness, because I think there's so much built around her, this mythos about mm-hmm. her, and it's like,
what are we doing?
Exactly.
What are we doing?
Exactly. So she says in the course of this call, Dad was right about me.
What does that? That is so interesting.
Yeah, I was like, well, what the fuck does that mean? Jesus Christ!
Do you think that this is an instance of, you know, they thought Lucifer was going to be like maybe a worse father until they made season one?
Well, I mean, let's not like he's not a good dad.
Oh, he's not a good dad. No,
no. He's also a bad parent. But I think Because that can go a couple different ways, right? Because we've all, well, maybe we haven't, but in the course of my, you know, relatively long life at this point, you've heard when you were a kid those, like, parent arguments.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, where it was maybe it wasn't something you were supposed to hear.
We're not fighting. We're having a discussion.
Exactly. And that kind of seems like that, because Dad was right about me. Was it just like, she's a dreamer, she shouldn't be doing this, she's just going to be disappointed? You could take it a couple different ways. It just, because I know Viv has also said in interviews that she's like, she doesn't mean him to be, he's not like this ultimate evil whatever the fuck. He's just a goofy fucking dude that's like,
yes,
lived forever and has like severe mental problems.
Like, what is she says it in such an interesting way. She goes, he's Satan, but he's not the devil or
yes,
something like that.
Right.
Like, he's not an evil person in this world.
Because we haven't established Satan in this world.
That's going to be Alistair.
No, I'm talking about Satan from Helluva Boss.
Oh, right.
I got unhinged theories about that as well.
From the Bible.
He's the Satan from the Bible. But I will be interesting to see, too, how they kind of start to kind of dovetail the two universes together. Because I don't know that we're ever going to get, like, maybe someday we'll get, like, a Christmas special crossover.
Sure, that'd be fun.
But, like, I don't need the shows on the main shows proper to, like, crossover. I'm fine with that. You want to give me, like, a short or something?
Yeah.
I'd be very into that. Like, Imp doing, like, a job for, like, somebody. Or, like, okay, we have a day in court and Lucifer actually shows up for it.
That'd be funny.
My God, I need it so badly.
Well, because apparently sinners can't leave the Pride Ring.
Yes.
So it's, and I can't remember where Blitz and Co. live.
I was looking for that, and it was making me insane that I couldn't find it.
I'm going to do like a rewatch of Helluva Boss, and if they say
yes,
it, I will let you
please
know.
Please do, because I was like, are they in Wrath? I'm not sure.
Yes? I can't remember.
But yeah, sinners can't leave Pride, which is interesting.
One of the rings of hell, very interesting, very Dante of us all.
Oh my, yes. Oh, we have so much to talk about in season two when we get there. I also have a random quote here from Vaggy where she's like, I don't trust most dudes either, Vaggy. Because she says something about not trusting guys. And I'm like, I've got like three that I do. So I feel you, babe. You're
fair
good
enough. I also like that, in the actual show they're doing, when they do like the trust fall, and Angel gets up there and he goes, I really like to suck. And Husko's like, so help me God. And he goes, popsicles, get your mind out of the gutter. In the pilot, he actually, when he gets back to the hotel, he goes and gets a popsicle.
Amazing. I love it. We love these callbacks. Outstanding. I think also when Charlie is on the news show, they're cutting to like some sinners and like folks watching the TVs, and that's where we see Alistair for the first time.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
He's kind of in the background and he's in shadow, but he's very clearly there.
I will say the way he first shows up at the hotel, okay, so the way the light comes in through the stained glass of that shot, because the door, what happens is that Charlie's in the hotel, the doorbell rings or something like that.
She's just had the call with Lilith, right?
Yes.
So we're pretty like, or they're not on call. We've called, Mom isn't answering. Was Dad right about me? We're needing some sort of parental kind of like validation.
Something.
Right? We're in a bad spot. And along comes this
Alistair
motherfucker.
I think it's so fascinating the way they present him in that the camera kind of, okay, lights coming through the stained glass. Mm-hmm. Charlie is walking down a corridor. The camera kind of pushes in.
Mm-hmm.
And Alistair is legit creepy. The way that whole scene is very framed feels terrifying.
Yes.
And she opens the door. They make him look taller than her.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything about the way that he is framed is, this is bad news.
Yes.
Close the door.
Yes.
And
she does initially, right? Because they know who he is. It's like, oh, the radio demon is at the door.
Because she tells Maggie that. She's like, hey, baby, the radio demon is at the door. And she's like, what? No.
Like, wait, what?
It's so, I love the way that shows do this, where they will kind of spin the not the vibe of the show exactly, but like
the tone
of the show. Thank you. The tone of the show on a dime. Mm-hmm. Because we've gone from, you know, funny to why is mom not picking up the phone to the hallway seems longer, which is a very cool horror movie trick.
It's that kind of like, it always reminds me of Poltergeist.
Yes.
When like the mom's trying to run down the corridor to get to the kids, mm-hmm. but she can't because it's like, I love that movie. I love that movie so much.
What I've kind of been noticing, it's funny we brought up The Amazing Digital Circus, because I kind of noticed a shot with a character that made that character just look very alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 3-second shot. And I was like, I fucking love camera angles. I'm the biggest nerd in the world.
Language of cinema, baby.
Oh my God.
So this is like, this is why, like, when people are like, well, why didn't they adapt the book exactly? Because you can't.
It's
not possible. Because a book is a different medium. It has a different language and in the way that it tells its story. In film, you have that visual too, in addition to your words and all of that. So there's a whole different way that you can establish isolation, loneliness,
mm-hmm.
comedy. Like there's so much you can do with just a camera angle or a lighting change,
mm-hmm.
or just, oh, it's tilted up a little bit more. It's, and like, you may not realize what's happening, but your brain does. If I can borrow a red letter media quote. But yeah.
Well, it's funny. People have been talking a lot about Heated Rivalry, which I've watched. I was rewatching it yesterday. I'm like, they did this fucking camera angle in a way that makes that character look off center and alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and then the very next camera angle is he's sitting very close to another person and the camera pushes in. I'm like, I fucking love this. This is why this show is good.
Mm-hmm.
And I just miss it from other shows. I feel like all of a sudden I'm like, what is missing from certain shows lately? And I'm like, oh, the texture of the cinema is gone.
Because so much is make sure the character is in the center of the screen and you could watch this as like a 30-second TikTok video.
Mm-hmm.
And no.
No.
No thank you.
I'm out.
I'm good. Thanks.
I will say Alistair is one of my favorite lines when he actually comes in and they're like, why would you want to help us? Because that's what he's there for. He tells them, I want to help you. I saw you on the news. I'm in. We're like, yeah, okay. And
For why?
Because Maggie goes like, why would you want to help us? And Alistair goes, why does anyone do anything? Sheer absolute boredom.
Which, honestly?
Yes.
Sure, dude. Because it makes some sense, right? You're in hell for all eternity.
Mm-hmm.
You're bored, right? You're bored.
Can you imagine getting to hell and them being like, you have to get a job now?
Right?
Like, oh, come on. It's
like,
already,
dude,
hell.
Really? Like, I have to. Like, are you serious? Seriously. I have to worry about a job and now I have to worry about double dying because angels are going to descend once a year to slaughter our asses. Neat.
You're telling me there's an actual hell mortgage? I have to have a mortgage down here?
I have to worry about insurance again?
I have to go to like my hell temp job with my hell typewriter?
I have to pay taxes? Hell taxes?
For why?
I do have in my notes a wild deer dude appears.
I truly,
he shows up.
The fact that his like animal is a deer delights.
Oh, when we find out the why of that.
Oh yeah.
And Rosie like roasting his ass over it is amazing. So we won't get into the actual reason. We'll talk about that a little bit more later, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
If we bring up some unhinged theories later, we can talk a little bit more about that.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about animation again.
Absolutely.
Vaggie starts, Alistair's description, Vaggie's description of Alistair.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, we cut over, and we do like 3 different types of animation. We got a couple seconds of stop motion happening.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a very brief kind of, we see a couple of characters from Hell of a Boss, as far as like how the hierarchy of hell looks.
Mm-hmm.
We get Vox in there, you know?
Oh, when they show like the overlords, and then we get like the sins,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
And I this is something I've kind of seen in a couple other projects, is that they're kind of mixing animation styles. And when they do that to like show how maybe off center something is, or
mm-hmm.
They did this in the summer Hikaru died, where every time kind of the demon that has taken over, well, the spirit that has taken over that's taken over this person is shown, it is a completely different animation style. And it is very, very good.
Tasty.
It's so fucking tasty.
Love that. Well, you can tell, I think, I don't have it in these notes, but just knowing what we know that he's been with Viv for so long, you just the way they animate him, you could tell that she loves him.
Yes.
Like, that is a character that is very near and dear to her heart. Just like the squash and squash stretch kind of like bending it. It's just such a like, oh the no, this ears. Is like the epitome of all evil. Oh my God, the ears are so good. This is like the epitome of like evil diabolical bastard. And he's animated so like beautifully. Is great. And like goofy also.
Goofy. He's so goofy. He's got a monocle, yeah. Erica. Oh,
the monocle.
It's a fucking monocle.
And like, I love that the staff talks. I'm mad the staff doesn't talk in like the rest of the show.
Yes.
Like, no, we could have this. What are you doing to me?
Well, like, okay, so Vaggy describes him as an unpredictable source of danger, a wicked spirit of mystery, and a violent monster of chaos, the likes of which we can't risk getting involved with unless we want to end up embraced. And then Angel immediately goes, he looks like a strawberry pimp. And that is the absolute, that is what we just said. He is both the epitome of all evil and fucking ridiculous looking. He has ears and they're fuzzy. We had to have a line somewhere down the line that told us, no, he doesn't have a tail. And what, you know what? He should have had
one. Oh, and fandom's mad about that. They're like, no, no. Yes, he does.
He's a little Bambi tail and it flicks up when he runs.
That fucking tail, dude. Like, Jesus Christ, people with that fucking tail. Oh, you could take that any way you want to, folks. I have read some thick.
We got no judgment on that. You do what
judgments.
You gotta do.
You do your thing, baby girl. But he really does like arrive as Charlie's at this low point and looking for this like parental assistance.
Yes.
Like, I need some validation. Like, sure, you're here because you're like bored, but you're actually actively like helping. Because he summons the way Nifty shows up. I was like,
terrifying.
Nifty. Fuck yes, this is amazing.
Just like a pair of eyes out of the dark soot.
Oh my God. I was like, yes, this is exactly how this should have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Husk, hearing not Keith David's voice.
I jerked.
Was
a little
very
bit.
Jarring. Same. I was like, I knew he wasn't in this, but still, like.
Because Keith David will just show up and stuff. He yes. showed up in Abbott Elementary when I was watching it a couple days ago. And I was
amazing.
Like, Keith!
Look,
hey,
what
man!
What you doing here, babe? Good to see ya!
Your voice, sir.
I mean, he's another one. Formative memories. Goliath and Gargoyles.
Oh, Goliath from Gargoyles.
So good.
Oh, such a good show.
So good. So good. Let me see what else I have here. So, yeah, just not surprising that she's like... And she's aware of what he is, but again, the whole... essence of Charlie is that she believes that there is good in everyone and that everyone has the potential to be redeemed. That's mm-hmm. I think she even mentions it. She's like, that's the whole point of the hotel.
Well, they ask her in season two. Vox says it. He goes, can I be redeemed? And she's like, yeah, I believe everybody can be redeemed.
So good. So good.
Whoa, yeah.
We will discuss that more once we get there because I have a lot to say. But that's Charlie. That is Charlie in a nutshell.
Yeah. She truly believes in the best of everybody. She is very much a Disney princess type character.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say the moments where we see Charlie go a little apeshit, where like her hair catches fire for a minute and she gets really angry and you see that she's got a tail. Like in those moments, I'm like, I need Charlie to lose it.
Yep.
When does Charlie burn it
all
down?
Who are we going to take from Charlie to make her go ballistic?
We know.
What else do I have here? Yeah, just that bouncy old-timey movement. And he's very charming.
Oh, yeah. Elser's so... He's got that, like, perfect old-timey radio voice.
Oh, the transatlantic accent with the, like... I like that they already had that sort of established, where we've got the radio overlay, we've got the accent, and it just works.
Yes.
And we get the whole backstory of this is why he's the radio demon. And mm-hmm. I think it's Vaggie who says it instead of, because obviously, what's her face? Mimsy?
Mimsy.
Is it Mimsy in
yeah.
the show proper? She's not here yet, right? I don't think she's in the pilot.
No,
at all.
I didn't see her anywhere.
I know, maybe she's in like those crowd scenes with like a bunch of the sinners, but I don't remember.
I don't remember seeing her, but she might be. I don't know.
Who knows? But we get that because that's kind of also important information that we don't get until like season, episode 5 of the first season. Right, because, yeah, it's when, yeah, he's, like, rage baiting Lucifer that we find out about.
Because, yeah, she interrupts, I think, Lucifer and Alistair's song.
Which makes it a hard one for karaoke because you need, like, a third person.
Yeah, you need somebody to be mimsy.
Because that would be very fun to do with karaoke.
That'd be hilarious to do.
We should just get hammered and do it anyway. Oh, we could please. Both sing the mimsy parts.
Yes, we can just jump in there on
just
mimsy.
We'll just do it. It'll be great. It'll be great. Torture our friends. This is what we're here for. That is the end of my notes. Do you have anything else?
I've got that it's very interesting to me that how much I just feel like the characters are when I say sharper, I mean as in like personality wise. Mm-hmm. Everybody's a little meaner.
Yes.
Everybody's a little sharper in the pilot.
I would agree with that.
Which isn't to say, and I can't tell if this is just because we get to know those characters more in two seasons.
Right.
And I think they kind of have to dial it up to 11 in a pilot to be like, this is what we're doing.
And you have the different voices. So I think they're doing a little bit different of a thing, mm-hmm. right?
I thought Husk is so interesting to me. I love the way that his design is very much like playing cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see the little hints of that, like his little heart nose
mm-hmm.
and the way the dots are on his wings.
And he's got like the hearts on his palms and stuff
yes.
too, right? Yeah.
And it's funny, he has a line where he says that he lost the ability to love years ago. And I was like, that's interesting.
Intriguing, how sir.
Interesting. Because
hmm.
Husk is going to be one of those characters where if they do what I think they're going to do, they are going to take that character in a direction that I never would have guessed they would take based off what I see in the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited to see where he goes. I love that he shows up like with a bar.
Right. Yeah.
The fact that like clearly like the amount of people in hell probably who have a drinking problem. And then they're like, hey, we should have a bar in here. And Maggie actually says something about it. She's like, we can't have a bar in
right.
here.
There's not supposed to be any alcohol. Right.
Bar goes nowhere.
Right. Yeah. Bar hangs out the whole time. You need the bar. You can't not have a bar. Where are people going to congregate? Well, and then Alistair has a song. We have to talk about his song.
Oh, my God. He does have a song.
He's got the reprise. And then it gets all like neon color and very... Friends from the Other Side.
Yes.
From also sung by Keith David.
Also sung by Keith David, yeah.
From Princess and the Frog, which is a vastly underrated Disney movie.
That'd be another good karaoke song.
Mm. Yes, it would be. That one's fun. But yeah, and that's, I think it's during the course of that song that he, because it's called The Happy Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who christens it the Has-Been Hotel.
I love when they pull out on the hotel, and granted, the hotel's been destroyed like 5 times so far, but you see, like, tacked onto the side is a carousel. There's like a full fucking ship.
Oh yeah,
which
yeah.
makes me wonder, like, Charlie, were you just like adding things like, to this hotel? Where did this come from?
What the fuck is this building? I did like in the pilot how cramped it is on the inside. I feel it's very kind of open and kind of airy.
And it feels
in season one.
Weirdly, it feels more cleaned up in the yes. actual show. Whereas this one, I'm like, oh, this is filthy.
This is filthy, filthy and place. Old. And it's just like, it really does so much to establish just kind of the hopelessness of the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
We also do get Alistair, when he first arrives, definitely admiring a portrait of the royal family.
Yes.
Which I was like, mm-hmm, interesting.
I can't remember if it's in this or if it's like later when we see Lucifer's room, but there is a portrait of Charlie when she was clearly going through like an emo
phase. Oh, the goth
phase
with like the black, oh my God.
Yes, it's so,
so good.
Cute.
It's so good.
She got like a big chunk of like black hair.
And like, of course
he
would have a picture of that up.
Of course. See, like this was your goth phase.
Just like, why would you have it? It's amazing. It's great. But no, I thought that was interesting where it's just like, oh, okay.
I also thought it was fun, like very briefly, that when they're when Angel's being very annoying in the limo, Vaggy kind of threatens to basically kill him,
mm-hmm.
and he goes like, "And what? I'll be what? Dead? Double dead? What happens after?" And I like that we put it down there, but it's never in like a, it has no weight to it.
No,
it's not like
not at all.
This is lore. This is just Angel being like, "Hey, what would happen?
What
if
would
you
happen
me again?
Like, what's going on?" Right?
Because I have this weird This is not important to the show. I do not care if they ever tell me. But like all the sinners who die during the purge,
mm-hmm.
like they're never like, oh, they go to the ether or anything like that. And I do not care. You
oh,
don't,
I don't
need to answer
I don't
that.
Need to find out where they go. They're just gone. I'm but, cool with them just being gone.
Yes. But I like that they kind of tease it. He's like, what am I, double dead?
I know, right?
I also, I like the way Angel's a good example of this. I like the way they mix in this character that could have very easily been somebody with like without any teeth, without any bite. Mm-hmm. And they make him the guy who's like, I've got guns. Like,
yes. I loved that. Because he was really like mixing it up with Cherry during the turf war with her and Pentas. Mm-hmm. Which Charlie's like, well, we have, you know, he's doing such a good job. And then they cut to like, well, no, he's in the middle of like, he's like snorting like lines of coke off, like whatever.
Throwing like bombs at Pentas.
Exactly. Like, okay, you're doing great, girl. You're doing amazing, sweetie. And then they end on this. It was funny because in fic a lot, like, you know that thing where like we say one thing once and now it's just like this intrinsic part of the character in the lore of the fandom's heads.
Yes. Alistair, very aware
like,
of it.
Jambalaya is like a thing.
Ah.
And as they,
okay.
Because Pentas shows up to like, it ends up him being, he's like, threatening Alistair.
Doesn't
right?
he think like he and Alistair are like arch nemesis?
Yes. And Alistair's like, who the fuck are you?
I'm sorry, who?
Which I choose to believe he does know, and he's just like, I just enjoy making people angry.
Oh, I think he 100%
absolutely
knows.
So that's how we kind of end the episode. Like, I enjoy the eldritch tentacles. Like,
I
what the fuck
love
is this?
That.
Yeah. Like, I'm just summoning a great old one to deal with you, and that's just... And then we're going to go inside, and we're going to have some jambalaya. It's my mom's recipe. It's great. Don't you worry.
The amount of times that they make Alistair just look absolutely fucking creepy. A thing that is already done very well by the fact that he's just smiling all the time.
I love the smiling
just
all the time.
Don't love it. It's
so good.
It absolutely gives you, like, the willies. You're
and
like,
it's
don't
one of those
that.
Things where it's like we've established, oh, this is just a norm for the character. Always smiling. Because we were talking about this over dinner a little bit, how it's somebody who there are no friends in hell.
There are no friends in hell.
Which, again, we're alluding a lot to season two here, but very much you're doing it on your own. I got it. Whatever. So eventually, when that norm is challenged or whatever, same with the smiling. I think we talked about it when we did the other podcast. I have to believe at some point over the course of the show, the smile is going to fall, and when it does, it's going to be the biggest gut punch, because it's like, oh fuck, because that's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah,
it's like it's a very solid pilot. Like it's
very much so,
considering that they made it off of like Patreon.
That's
money.
The nuts thing. It's wild. It's crazy that then you had to wait like. And again, animation takes a very long time.
Mm.
Deals and shit, like all the behind the scenes crap. Getting like your actors and getting the script solidified, having to wait 5 years after that.
Yes.
For the show proper. Wild.
Wild. I know for Hell of a Boss, for like the very first episode, I think they had all voice actors in one room to do it. And then
ooh.
I know after that they didn't. Because traditionally, voice actors, they call them in, they're on their own, they're in a booth, somebody else is probably reading other lines if you need it,
mm-hmm.
they record, and then they're done.
Yes.
So like, they don't really, I used to think like, oh, they must all get together and that's
some
a day of work.
Some shows do.
Okay.
Batman the Animated Series, they filmed it like a radio play.
Really?
Everybody was in the same room.
I did not know that.
I think Legend of Vox Machina and The Mighty Nein also at least a bit do it that way.
Okay.
Because I do think there is something to running lines with somebody.
Yes.
As you're standing there and acting together. I would imagine it would be very hard to be in a booth alone with someone feeding you lines. I mean, and they still manage.
Yeah.
Because everybody acts really well in season one. I would have a hard time getting there.
Yeah, and I imagine it's just one of those things where, like, after you learn how to do it, you know, you just kind of get better.
Oh, yeah.
Better.
Well, and if you're a good actor, which yeah. these people are, I mean, we're all very seasoned, like, either character actors or Broadway people. Yeah, you get there, right? You kind of
yes.
have to, or it's like, okay, well, you know, you're not good at this. We're going to get someone else.
I do wonder, and I don't know that if they did this, I do wonder if the pilot was one of those situations where, like, we're all in a room, or if it was
I
one
wonder,
of those where, you know, individuals.
Or if it was just, we're just kind of trying to cobble this together any way we can get, because I think mm-hmm. most of the voice actors are folks who did, like, anime dubs and stuff like that. So they're still,
oh, that makes sense.
They're voice actors.
Yeah.
it's not just like the Broadway people yeah. that they ultimately, because the majority of the cast, I think, has some Broadway credentials, right? I mean, everybody can sing.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
Well, because Vaggie is voiced by...
I always want to say Diaz, but it's
Stephanie Beatriz, who was the voice of the main character in the Disney movie Encanto, mm-hmm. and so she can sing.
Yes.
Lucifer is a Broadway actor. Vox is a Broadway actor.
Do we want to just keep, because I think we were like, oh yeah, Jeremy Jordan's fine.
Jeremy Jordan is fine.
In that 3-hour episode, we got to keep the beef going. Yeah. The non-existent beef.
The non-existent beef that we have with Jeremy
I have nothing
Jordan.
Against this man. Though the other day I had my, my music on shuffle and, the opening to Newsies came up, Santa Fe.
Oh, bless.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, oh, no, that's Jeremy Jordan. It's Lucifer doing a New York accent. This is ruined for me forever.
He's haunting you.
It's not, though, because I fucking love Newsies, so that just made me, like, very tickled.
Newsies was a very important part of your good friend Sassafrasalicious life
Same.
Growing up. Very Same. Important part of her growth cycle.
Oh, yeah. Baby Christian Bale trying to dance.
Yep. Ooh, bless.
Absolutely. And absolutely.
I was young and dumb enough to be like, he's doing great. He's doing amazing.
He's doing wonderful. He can sing, too. Ooh, look at him.
Look at that accent.
Look at him. He's doing great. Ooh, Robert Duvall as Pulitzer. Like, that movie rocks. And I will hear nothing against it. And the show is great, too.
The show is great.
The amount of times that I have fantasized about just breaking into Seize the Day somewhere throughout the course of my day,
mm-hmm.
an embarrassing amount, Sass.
Sometimes when I'm having a bad day, I just think like, Santa Fe, are you there?
Dude.
I'm so sorry.
Seriously. And it's Lucifer doing a New York accent.
Exactly. It's great.
It's amazing.
Well, it's funny because they've mentioned that they don't have like a choreographer for Hell of a Boss or Has Been,
mm-hmm.
but they're having one now for like season 3 and 4 because I guess there's gonna be more dance numbers.
Dude,
they had one person, and I feel like I've sent you this interview, but it was the person who choreographed Angel's Poison number.
Tasty.
Had like a really amazing interview, but that I think was the only person they had who had any like dance experience.
And you could tell that is a choreographed number.
Yes.
I'm very excited for when we get to talk about Poison for 5 hours. An additional 5 hours about Loser Baby. Yeah. I'm very, very, very pumped for that.
It's funny, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, who would want to listen to us talk about Has Been Hotel for a long time? And then I have a Ted Lasso podcast that can literally go on for 3 hours. And I'm like, I love all of that. So we'll find our five people.
There are dozens of us.
Dozens!
Dozens! No, it'll just be people that are like, oh, these fucking old bitches, we don't like them. They're mean to us.
I'm telling you, if we you know, post this and open it up and there's like 1,000 hits, I'm going to be like,
oh,
I'm moving to the woods. We've made a huge mistake.
No, we just don't want to be perceived. So it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
I will be, it's fine. It's going to be fine.
It's all
going to
be okay.
Do you have any unhinged theories that you would like to talk about?
Not from the pilot, no.
See,
I mean,
my big one, I've got that. I'm saving it for when we do the first episode because we don't get the story of hell here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I've got some crunchy ass shit to chat about. But let me see. I guess we can kind of talk about. But do we want to talk about the Lilith-Alistair-Rosie connection?
I feel
we
like...
We haven't met
Rosie yet. I feel like that's something we should wait for a further episode when
Agreed.
We've...
Agreed.
Because, I mean, the pilot sort of... I almost kind of wish we'd done the pilot and the first episode at the same time.
I mean, we have managed to talk for an hour and a half.
Oh, never mind,
just
then.
The pilot.
Like, we'd go 3 hours.
I was and we're not done yet. We still have stuff to talk about.
It's true.
I was slightly worried. I was like, are we gonna, but we're big yappers. This was never going to be, oh no, what will we talk about?
However, like, will we keep the conversation going?
Exactly. It's us at dinner shrieking into each other's mouths for 2 hours over ramen about The Witcher. Mm-hmm. Like, ruining everyone else's day. But So, I mean, that's the pilot. I don't know. Do you have anything else about the show proper, or?
I don't think so. Not if we're just kind of humming around the pilot right now. That's kind of everything I've got.
Okay. I will entice you, dear listeners. I do have some unhinged theories for the first episode. Because, yeah, I've got a lot to say about the story of Hell.
Very nice.
But one thing we also wanted to do, and obviously we talked about Lottie Reiniger earlier. We've mentioned a bunch of other animations that you should check out. What we wanted to do at the end of each episode is throw out a show that either one or both of us has seen animated that you should go check out and watch.
Yeah.
You just started watching Centaur World.
Centaur World.
Which is, it's an animated musical. Would you call it a musical? I think it's safe to call it a musical.
If there's more than two songs an episode, it's a musical. Yes. And there have been.
Yes, absolutely.
God, if there's one song an episode, it's a musical.
Right? Yeah. It's on Netflix. I think it was released in, I want to say like height of COVID, like 2021 in there. And it is unhinged in the best way. It gets dark in that like 80s kids movie way. I don't want to say too much because you're not far in.
I'm four episodes in. I will tell you it is very weird, which is my jam. I love a weird show. And this is very much, it's a portal fantasy. Mm-hmm. I would say we could call it that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where a horse from.
Named Horse. Voiced by eventual Nifty.
Voiced by eventual Nifty.
Kimiko Glenn.
Is with her rider. They're in a war of some kind. They have found a magical object, and the horse falls through the portal that the magical object creates, separating her from her rider, and drops her into Centaur Land, which is absolutely... It is like a cotton candy fueled nightmare land.
Yes.
It is so cheerful. It is so happy. Everybody is a centaur.
Everyone is a centaur.
So
and we're
weird.
All singing.
It is
and
so weirdly
horse
animated.
Horse starts to like, can't talk in the world with rider.
Yes.
Falls into centaur world and is able to speak.
Yes.
And does start kind of changing as the show goes on. And it's delightful.
It's a delight. There's a rainbow road. There's a literal rainbow road that they have to follow because the whole thing is that in order to get back to her writer in the other world, she's got to go talk to a shaman.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I will leave you on that.
Nice.
But it like watching it, I was like, you will have moments of like, what the fuck am I watching?
But in the best way.
In the best way.
Because it is like a bit unhinged.
Yes.
And like that Welcome to Centaur World song.
Yes.
Where they're talking about how they're like codependent and like... Yeah, sure, there's this horrible war going on, but we don't talk about that, because it's just supposed to be happy here. There's very much this underlying, like, no, something's very, like, wrong.
Something's going on, and why aren't you talking about it?
And it does get more into that as you go.
And we've kind of said, like, it's got 80s cartoon darkness to it. I haven't gotten there yet, but, like... That actually, there's quite a lot of delightful 80s cartoons meant for children that you will watch. We will recommend them. And you're going to be like, what? It will explain your delightful host's personality.
I was just going to say, yes. Like, oh, you watched this when you were how old?
Because, like, you know, when the Care Bears in the Care Bears movie show up and it's two adults and a whole bunch of baby Care Bears running from something, your first question should be, where'd the other adults go?
Uh-huh.
What happened? And we never talk about it.
Nope.
And you get older and you rewatch it and you go, where'd the other adults go?
But where are the other adults, Care Bears?
What? Why? What's happening?
Oh, see, I watched that second movie so much more than that first one with like, what was it like? Dark Heart and like the Camp Champ. And
oh my
shit.
God. Yes. The devil shows up in a book. Oh, it's beautiful.
So good.
It's so fucked
so
up.
So good. So good. And we win with the power of friendship, which I don't give a fuck how hokey that shit is. I love it every time. I don't care. Great. It's great.
Power of friendship's very powerful.
And it's probably because of the Care Bears. Because
probably.
That was like right in there. Those formative like fiction years.
When Hazbin Hotel has everybody starting to be friends, there is a reason that a bunch of us were like, oh, they're friends now. Okay. And in Centaurland, when they all decide to be buds and travel together, I'm like, they're friends now. And I'm like, uh-oh.
That is one of those shows that you will just like randomly start wiping at your eyes and be like, why am I crying?
again, the most sometimes uncomfortable anime. Like, there's a centaur who is a giraffe. Like, kind of uncomfortable. But I won't lie, in the best way.
It's delightful.
In the best way possible.
The zebra one. The zebra tar. It's one of those shows you're going to watch like an episode or two and you will know immediately if you're not going to be into it. But
yes.
I would say if you enjoy Has-Been, you will probably enjoy Centaur World.
Give Centaur World a shot if you're enjoying Has-Been.
Mm-hmm. Give it until... Watch those first, like, four episodes. And if it's... I think it's only, like, a half an hour long.
Oh, it's a half hour. It's like, yeah, if that.
It's not. So it's just, like, a couple hours of your life. And you just listen to us talk for, like, an hour and 45 minutes. You don't value your time. So watch... Go watch Centaur World. It's pretty solid.
Maybe it's time to... You're like, I do have to clean the shower and the bathtub. I've been putting it off.
Lousy mildew.
And you're like, I'll just put those, you know, 3,000-year-old ladies
the
on to talk about
the shrieking harpies on talking about the cute animated show that I enjoy. Why are they yelling at me for watching it, Rob? But we were pretty nice this episode. I
feel like we were very nice.
We were very nice. We could have been a lot meaner. So there you go.
There we go.
How sweet we are.
Meaner will be for the time when we have more liquor in us. That's when it's going to come out.
Yes, indeed. It is a weeknight and we both work. So
unfortunately.
I have no way of signing off. We'll figure it out eventually.
We'll have a cool sign-off soon.
End of the show.
End of show.
So the plan currently, I think, is to do an episode a month.
Yes.
To kind of give us time to watch, take notes, do a little bit of research into things should we need to. And we are just busy ladies. Yeah. So sometimes that's just the cadence. And that gets us, hopefully... through most of the hiatus.
God, please.
That's what, like 16 episodes?
Yeah.
With maybe like some fun stuff thrown in here and there. So, yeah. And we're already a couple months out from... Because I think she said it's going to be similar to the wait between season one and season two.
What was that wait? I cannot remember.
Like a year and a half.
Like a year and a half, all right.
Which isn't terrible.
That's not too bad. With animation?
With animation, it's not terrible. And I think they said the wait between 3 and 4 will be less because they got greenlit at the same time.
Okay.
So I'm hoping at this, and we'll probably record again before this Level Up show in Vegas. It's a convention.
Oh,
you know
okay.
What I'm talking about? That's
where they
announced last year, I think, that maybe they announced that Has-Been was coming back. But they also was where they were like, Haluva Boss is now coming onto Amazon, so
okay.
The universes can kind of... They had that cute animated short where it was like Blitz and Charlie.
Yes. Everybody, Angel Dust, everybody likes him.
That red guy everybody's weirdly obsessed with. Which is a thing. I didn't realize that until I really started like digging in a little more, and it was like, oh, okay, interesting.
Okay.
He's the fandom bicycle. All right.
Every fandom got one.
Every fandom got one. But, so the cadence will probably be about once a month. And yeah, I mean, hopefully you enjoyed it. I don't know if you have any way of telling us. We are going to have like some social media presence.
I guess
again,
we'll have a blue sky is what we decided.
We'll probably have a blue sky. I would imagine if like there may be, I don't know that we want to take like pictures of ourselves
and
shit, but, maybe an Instagram. I don't know if you were not into that, then
we'll think about it.
We can just kind of blue sky it. I'm like, fine with that. We can retweet? Repost? I don't know.
Resky?
Reskeet? Is that what it is?
God, I hope not.
I hope it's not. I who knows? We're old and don't care.
Reblue?
Reblue? That's dumb too. What are we doing? What are we doing? But we will have some kind of presence, so obviously we can like post about the episode and not just kind of shove it out there and
have fun.
We'll see. Maybe it'll find people. But yeah. So always a delight chatting with you. Especially
always a delight chatting with you.
Dumb fandom nonsense. And we'll come up with a clever fucking sign in eventually.
Yeah.
Deal with it. Have a good night.